शांति। ऑल ऑफ यू से ओम शांति। ओम शांति। ओम शांति। दादी यूज्ड टू से ओम शांति 3 times एंड देन शी वुड से हु एम आई, हुम डू आई बिलोंग टू, एंड द थर्ड वुड बी डिफरेंट, वेयर हैव आई कम फ्रॉम, व्हाई हैव आई कम हियर, वेयर डू आई हैव टू गो, सो ऑल दैट ऑल्सो कम्स इन ओम शांति। So who am I and whom do I belong to? In today's Murli, Baba said, Om Shanti is our mantra. I am a peaceful soul. I dwell in the ocean. I'm the child of the ocean of peace. And I dwell in the land of peace. So we become peaceful instantly in a second. We don't have to go anywhere or wander about anywhere for peace, because peace is the very nature of the self. So just as peace is the nature of the self, love also is the nature of the self. And the theme for this season is living with limitless love. And my topic in this is love begets love, which means if you give love, you will receive love. What you give, that you get back. If you give peace, you get peace. If you give love, you get back love. If you give happiness, you will get back happiness. If you give respect, you get back respect. So whatever you give, that you get back. It is like what you sow, that you reap. If you sow thorns, you will reap thorns. If you sow flowers, you will reap flowers. If you sow a vegetable, you will get back that vegetable. If you sow fruits, a fruit, then you get back that those fruits. And the return is not just one-fold. You sow one seed, maybe a mango seed, and you expect that you get a mango tree, but then how many mangoes come in that tree? It's not one mango. And not just for 1 year, they keep coming year after year, but they come in a season, not whole year. But there are some fruits which seeds which bear fruit after a long time, but then once the fruit starts coming, it comes every year, whole year. You know, coconut trees we have in India, how whole year they are bearing fruit, coconut. Although they start giving fruit after a long time, after sowing the seed. So, according to the seed, the same is the fruit. But how many fruits, you can't know immediately, but definitely you get the same fruit. So when we speak about limitless love, what does it mean? Let us define the word love. What is love? Love means when you think high of someone. You have love for that person. And then when you have love for that person, you also give regard to that person. And when you give regard, it means you consider that person to be elevated, to be good, to be really a worthy person. And therefore he deserves love. He deserves respect. So whatever you give, that you get back. This is definite. But then how many times more you get back? Even that is something which you cannot decide at that moment. But definitely you get back. But then in the Gita it is said that what you give, don't think of the return. You just keep giving. And the return you will definitely get from God. So don't think what I'm going to get if I give this. Will I get love if I give love? I don't have to think like that. I must keep on giving love. But what exactly love means? There's a saying that love can melt mountains. Even a mountain can melt if there is love. How it melts everything. Even the hardest of hearts can melt if the heart is given love. But in today's world, this word love has become so distorted. People don't really understand the meaning of this word love. Love means seeing the good qualities of that person and feeling that I have to give something to that person. So feeling of love means a thing, it's the sign that I should give something to that person, but not what I'm going to get from that person. And what if I give, what I'm going to get after I give. So it's not an exchange. It's not like going to a shop and saying, I want this and for that I pay this much amount and I get that back. That thing what I'm going to buy. So love is not like that. You can't buy love. Nor can you really sell love. It's not bought or sold with money. But this is something to do with the heart. So when I say love begets love, it means you have to first of all have love for everyone. It's not I love everyone except my neighbor. You know, some people may say, I love everyone in this world except my neighbor. Neighbor I hate. But then if you don't love your neighbor, it means there is one person lacking, one person whom you don't love. But if I love, I have to love everyone. But then you can't keep on loving everyone individually. So the best thing is, how will you give love, unlimited love or limitless love to everyone? First of all, you have to just love God. It's like you want to water a plant, a tree. You don't have to water every leaf. You just water the seed. And when you water the seed, you put water in the soil, and that seed, the roots of that seed, they pick up the water and give it to the whole tree. That's the process for the roots to do. And give to the trunk, give to the branches, give to the leaves, and so forth, so on and so forth. But we have to just water the roots. We don't have to see whether the leaves have got the water or not. So when we say this, when we do it, we understand that love is not so difficult to give. Love is very easy. It's very easy. So how will you give love? You can give love by seeing that person's good qualities. Love is not something which is just physical. In today's world, people think love is physical. You know, somebody may complain, no one loves me, no one loves me, no one loves me. And what is their expectation? That someone should praise me, someone should hug me, someone should kiss me, you know. And that is, somebody should express love in that way. But this is not true love. Because if it is love for someone's beauty, if it's love for someone's talent, well, that's all limited. Beauty is also limited. Today one is beautiful because he's young. But as that person will grow old, his beauty is lost. Her beauty is lost. And they say, you know, there's a saying that beauty is just 4 days, only for 4 days. Just like you have a beautiful full moon. That full moon looks very beautiful. Maybe even next day after the full moon or one day before, it may seem to be a full moon and it may look very beautiful 2 days before the full moon and 2 days after the full moon. It may look beautiful, but after that, it will shrink, you know, its size will grow down, it will become less and less, and the light will also become less and less. Yesterday was full moon. We call that Sharad Purnima, the in between the Dasera and Diwali. On Dasera they burn the effigy of Ravan, and Diwali will be total darkness, and Dasera means 10th day. So after 10th day, gradually, there is full moon, and then after 15 days, again the moon goes down, the light becomes less and less, and Diwali means no moon at all. It is the dark night. So that's what we call Amavasya, means no moon. And after 15 days again full moon, after 15 days again no moon. So the moon size also changes, the shape changes, the light changes. So that is what really, if there's love for beauty. So this beauty also changes. Someone's skin may be very beautiful, but then it catches fire and that fire will make that skin very ugly. So that beauty is gone. Age will finish the beauty of that person. You know, they showed a picture of so many young ladies who won in the beauty contest. They became universal beauty queen, or you know, world beauty queen, or even the country's beauty queen. But then when they were 22 years or 25 years latest, 20 years, how beautiful they were. But then that same beauty queen, when she's 80 years old, the whole skin wrinkles and her hair gray and she looks so ugly. And then however much she may put makeup, or maybe, you know, nowadays what they do to their skin to look younger, whatever she may do, but still her age will definitely be visible. You know, there is a very interesting joke on this, that there was one lady who was supposed to die, but then she, माता ये सब यहाँ नहीं आओ, यहाँ आपका क्लास नहीं है, आप लोग पीछे जाओ, सब पीछे जाओ. सब वापस जाओ, ये विदेशियों का क्लास है. सो देयर वाज वन लेडी हु न्यू दैट शी वाज गोइंग टू डाई, बट देन समवन टोल्ड हर, इफ यू जस्ट यू नो चेंज योरसेल्फ, डू पुट अ लॉट ऑफ मेकअप, और यू नो यू डू समथिंग एंड देन यू विल लुक यंगर, एंड देन that god of death will not be able to recognize you and you will not die. And yes, so when it was time for her to die, even though she was 80 years old, but she looked as if she was just 30 years old. But then that god of death, of course he knew, it's not that if she looked younger she's not going to die. That god of death came and took her, the soul. He took the soul away. So she told that god of death, why did you take me? I'm so young. He said, no, this is Kaliyug. In Kaliyug everything is so false. You may say that you are young, but you are not young. I've recognized you. So this is what it is. Just makeup alone will not help. You will not look younger. You may dye your hair and make your hair look black so that you look younger, but your face will definitely be revealed. Your ears will be, you know, less and less powerful. Your eyes will be less and less powerful. You may even break your teeth, because as you said, these are signs, different signs that you are growing old. First of all, your hearing will become lesser and lesser with age. Then maybe your teeth will break, your eyes will not be able to see much, your hair will gray, and maybe you may have a crunch, you know, or you may have problem in sitting, problem in sleeping, other this problem, that problem, physical problems will come. You know, so many things can come to the body. So the body is always changing. So if you have love for something which is changing, that is illusion. I love this hall very much, it's so beautiful. But if I come after 50 years, 100 years maybe, this will become so old. I will say, oh, 100 years ago it was so beautiful. But then the same thing goes with everything of nature, everything of matter. But then if we really want to love someone, we have to love the soul. Because soul is eternal. Soul is immortal. The soul never dies. That is why it is said, you know, five words are used for the soul. Because it is eternal, it is immortal, it is imperishable, it is indivisible, and it is invisible. So you are loving that one who is eternal, who is immortal, who is imperishable, who is indivisible, and who is invisible. So love for that one is the highest form of love. It is limitless love. Because that love is not just for one life. It's not based on karmic accounts. It's not love only for the body. But it is limitless love for the soul and for every soul. Because no soul is really bad. Why we don't want to love someone? Because I say that person is bad. But no one in this world is bad. Even a terrorist, he may have done terrible things, but the soul is not bad. What made him become a terrorist, you know, you never know. And even if he kills someone and comes home, and he has his own child, he will love that child. Even though he has killed someone. But, so love is his natural state. His own child he will not kill. He loves his child. So love is there in him. It's only that he is paid for killing someone or whatever these days so many things happen. So in his original nature, he's not really bad. That is why, you know, in prisons it is written, where there are big, big prisoners, big, big sinners, who have big, big, you know, murderers in prison. It is written there, hate not the sinner, but hate his sins. Don't hate the sinner. In the Bible too it is written, because Christ talked about love. So hate not the sinner. The sinner is a soul, but hate his sins. The sins which he has committed, that you have to hate, because you should not commit those sins again. You should not commit those sins. So you don't hate that person. But you are hating actually his sins that he has committed, and you don't want to commit such sins. Because what you give, that you get back. If you kill someone, then you have to get life imprisonment, or maybe you can be hanged. So because if you take someone's life, you have to give your own life. So whatever you give, that you get back. So how do we give love? When I say to give love, it does not mean that I have to hug that person, kiss that person. Some people say, nobody loves me, nobody loves. So they expect someone should hug that person, hug him or her, or kiss her and say, oh, I love you, oh, I love you. Not necessary. Somebody may say, I love you, but internally that person may think, oh, I wish he dies. You know, there are people like that. They are different outside and very different inside. Inside they hate that person, but externally they'll say, oh, you're so good, I like you very much, it's good you came, you know, it's good you are here. But internally they think, why did he come? Now he'll take my time, he'll take my energy, I don't know why he came. But externally I'll say, oh, it's good you came, it's nice you came, I was remembering. You know, you can say many things. Inside you are different. But when we say limitless love, means you have love is inside and love is also outside. The same thing. So if I have love for someone but not for somebody else, that means I'm being partial. And why no love for the other one? Because I'm thinking negative about that person. So actually the attraction is towards the goodness. So goodness could be anything. Even beauty is goodness. And if we think of beauty as goodness, the most beautiful is God. A point of light and in a point in form and limitless in virtues. Who could be more beautiful than that form? That is why for Shiva it is said, Satyam Shivam Sundaram. God is the truth, God is the benefactor, the bestower, and God is the ever beautiful. So what we love is truth. If somebody is dishonest or someone is saying something else but doing something else, so because of dishonesty, then what we'll say, oh, I thought he was a good person, but he's not a good person. Why I thought he was a good person? Because whatever he said, he should have done it. He should have been honest, but he was not honest. So one has to be honest, one has to be truthful. So truth is that which attracts. If somebody is speaking lies all the time, we won't love that person. He's speaking lies. We don't even trust that person because I don't know what he's saying. He's speaking all lies. There are some people who are very clever, very clever, very cunning. How they are cunning? They say something but they never do that. And what they do, they never say. This is the most terrible thing. Such people, you know, you can never trust. Because what they are saying, they'll never do. Okay, tomorrow I'll come and meet you at this time. And you go there and you wait for him. He'll come at this time, but he doesn't turn up. And doesn't even phone that, oh, I couldn't come because of some reason. But I'm standing there waiting, waiting, waiting. So they say something but then don't do it. They say, I will give you this, but they don't give. So they say one thing and do the other. And there are people who don't say what they will do, but they do it, and then so dangerous they are. And it's so frightening. What he will do, we don't know, because he doesn't say. No. So if I don't say and I just do it, it can be very dangerous. And such people can never be trusted. But when there is love, you are so honest. Because love makes us become honest. I will say what is in my mind. But if I don't have love, I will not say. But then also, as Baba was saying in yesterday's Murli, some people are truthful. They do speak the truth, But they speak the truth very bitterly. Very bitterly they say. And that's what they say, that truth is bitter. Actually, truth is not bitter. Why should truth be bitter? Truth is very lovely, very sweet. If I am saying it in a sweet way, supposing you are doing something wrong and I'm not happy about what you did, well, I can say it with love also. You know, what you did was not right. I can say that with anger as well. What you did was not right. How dare you do that? How dare you did it? I can say it in a very angry tone. And I can say with love also, you know what you did yesterday, it wasn't good. Well, never mind, okay. Next time don't do it. And I will pardon that person. I will forgive that person. Because I love that person. But the one whom I don't love, I will speak the truth that what you did was not good and I hate you and I don't like you. Get away from here. Get out from here. Don't come in front of me. You know, so many bitter words I can speak. But then I know maybe that person is very weak. That's why he was not able to do it. He had no strength to do it. But he had no, heart to say that he could not do it. You know, when very often we tell people to do something and they can't do it. They know they cannot do it. But they won't say that they cannot do it. They feel it hard to say because they're afraid. What will that person think if I say that I can't do it? And they say, okay, but then they don't do it. So even that is deceiving, that is cheating. That is dishonesty. So whatever is in your heart, if you can say that sweetly, well, the other one will not mind. But if I speak the truth in a bitter way, definitely everybody will mind. You know, that's why they say that when there is love, even if they don't talk to one another, even if they don't say anything to each other, but still through signals they understand each other, if there is true love. And if there's no true love, even if you say something, they won't understand. And you have to say it very loudly, even then they won't understand. You know? Because heart to heart experience isn't there. That is why when we get angry, we speak so loudly. So loudly we speak. When the other one is maybe just 10 feet away from me, but I want to speak so loudly because I hate that person. But when I love that person, I don't even have to say anything. Just my signal of my eyes will work. They will do the magic without saying a word. So why do we have to shout even if that person is so close to me? Because the hearts are far away. Their love isn't there. And if there's love, I don't have to say even one word. The other one will understand. So love begets love. It doesn't mean that if somebody loves you only, then you give love. Really, limitless love means you love that person even if he doesn't love you. Even if he doesn't love you. That is a bigger form of love. Even if that person hates you, you don't hate him. This is called selfless love. Why you don't hate him? Because you know that he's a weak soul. You know, when a nurse, she's putting injection in a child, for example. Now, she has, you know, pricked a needle. But then at that time, the child cries. And maybe it's a small child, it can even, you know, push that nurse with his legs. that, oh, what are you doing? You're poking a needle into me. But still the nurse is so sweet. She said, no child, no child, it is good for you, it is good for you. Even if she is, the child is beating her or kicking her, but she will still love that child. Because she knows that this child doesn't know that the needle which I am pricking is really medicine which will give him strength. So she loves the child, but the child doesn't like her. Why? Because he thinks, oh, she's pricking me. But how that pricking is good for him, for the child, this he doesn't know. That's why he kicks the nurse. But she doesn't do anything. She just pets him, loves him, soothes him, and gives him all the care at that moment. So too, Baba says, those who speak ill of you, those who get angry with you, those who hate you, you should think at that moment that such souls are weak souls. They don't know what true love is. They cannot forgive and forget. Never mind, as they are weak, but I am God's child. As I am God's child, I will do what God does. There's so many examples of Brahma Baba. So many people came to Brahma Baba and abused Baba, but Baba never reacted, never. He did not react. Why he did not react? Because he knew that they are innocent, they don't know the truth. So, I am an embodiment of love, I have to give what I have. If I don't have love, I cannot give love. I will give what I have. And therefore Baba says, you cannot say that I don't have love, because every soul is an embodiment of love. So I am a loveful soul and I can share that love with everybody in spite of the bitterness of the other one, because I have to keep giving. This is the consciousness. And because of this consciousness that I have to keep on giving, I don't get tired, I don't get exhausted, I don't get fed up. I have to keep giving, I have to keep giving, because I have to become a deity. In Hindi, devata means the one who gives. Devata, dene wala, the one who gives. So I have to become a deity and therefore I have to give love, I have to give peace. But I will not be able to give love or peace if I don't have it myself. And actually I do have it, but if I'm not able to give, it means I'm body conscious. If I'm soul conscious, I will definitely give. If I'm body conscious, I will be peaceless. I'm not aware of myself as a peaceful soul. But if I'm soul conscious, immediately I will feel peace, I'll become a peaceful soul and spread that peace in the atmosphere. So I am a loveful soul, I have to keep giving love to all, come what may. And as Baba says, I have to give love even if somebody hates me, because what I receive is not that the same thing I have to give. Because my true nature is not hatred. So my true nature is love, and therefore I must keep on giving love, come what may. There are so many stories on this. There's once a crab in the water. So that crab was in the water and someone was sitting on the bank of that river, and there was a crab in the water. So what he did, he tried to pick the crab because he thought that this may drown. So he tried to pick it up to save that crab. And then when he picked it up, that crab pinched him, poked and stinged him. And immediately that crab fell into the water. And again he tried to pick it up. So so that he could be, he would not drown. And again that crab pricked him, you know, stinged him. So somebody said, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? See, that crab is stinking you. And immediately you are putting it down. Don't leave it. Never mind if it drowns too. But he said, no. My dharma, my religion is to save everyone. And the religion of that crab is to sting. So he is doing his job, I will do my job. So my job is to give love to everyone, to save everyone, to protect everyone. And this one's job is to sting, so he's doing his job. If he's not leaving his job, why should I leave my job? So his job, his instinct was to sting. Whoever it would come in front of it, it would sting. That was his task. That is what it knew. But I know how to protect, I know how to save. And therefore I will do my dharma. Dharma here means my nature, what my nature is. My nature is to save everyone. My nature is not to kill, you know. There are some people, they become doctors, okay. But then, because they want to just make money, they don't care for anyone's life. Just money, money, money. And even if that patient dies, he doesn't care, but he wants the money. But doctor doesn't mean that. And such doctors who even kill just for the sake of money, ultimately they are caught. They are not really doctors, they are murderers. And such doctors are put into prison, because a doctor means next to God. He's supposed to save a person. But if he, instead of saving a person, he's killing the person just to get money, he's a murderer, not a doctor. A mother, if she kills her child because she cannot look after the child, she's not a mother, she's a murderer. A mother may say, so what, I killed my child because I gave birth to the child, and if I killed it, so what, it's my child whom I killed, no? But she cannot kill the child. She can give birth to the child, that's okay, but she cannot kill that child. Otherwise she'll be called a murderer. So we as Brahmins are supposed to save souls, protect souls, give happiness to souls, because we are embodiments of happiness. So when I think it this way, I will want to really give. Baba says, even if you don't have money, doesn't matter. It's not that you have to give money. That's not important. Even two sweet words are very beautiful, very lovely for you to share with someone. There's an example, a story that once there was a street beggar, he was very, very hungry. And he went to a sweetmeat shop. And he told the owner of that, the one selling sweets, that I'm so hungry, give me some sweets. So that owner of that shop, he, you know, scolded him, shouted at him, and told him to get out and all that. But before leaving, he said, okay, if you cannot give me sweet, at least speak sweet words to me. So that, for that, it doesn't cost anything to speak sweet words. You don't have to spend any money to speak sweet words. So if we cannot give anything physically, okay, give sweet words to that person, give comforting words to that person, give him solace, give him comfort, give him, you know, some, you know, dhiraj, what we say, we can say that yes, you'll become okay, you'll become all right. Even if you're not a doctor, if you cannot give any medicine, okay. But some words of comfort, even that is giving. Some thoughts of peace, even that is giving. Somebody comes who is very, very, dissatisfied in life, he is frustrated in life, and he says, I don't want to live, I don't want to live, I want to die. But to soothe that person, to give him vibrations of peace, even that is giving. So giving could be in any way. But then always understand that what I give, that I will get back. So what should I want for me? That is why it is said, do unto others as you want others to do unto you. Whatever you want someone else to do to you, that you have to do it first. It's not that that one did this thing, therefore I will do the same. No, no. I go to someone's house and that person hardly treats me well, doesn't even give me water to drink. I go to that person's house and he ill-treats me. He doesn't give me respect. And I will say, okay, let him come to my house. I will also do the same. But in that way, what am I doing? My real nature is to give. My real nature is to help. But because that person didn't help me, I don't want to help. But I'm going against my nature. My nature is not like that, to not help. Maybe his nature is to not help. He could not give me even a water to drink, but doesn't mean that I also should not do the same, because he did not give me water to drink. You know, there's a saying that when you want milk, you don't have to ask for it, because you don't say go to someone's house and say I want milk. What you ask for is water, usually. Can I have some water, please? You won't say, can I have some milk, please? No. So, but if you get something, consider that to be like milk, because it is going to give you strength. If you get something with love, even if it's a small present, it's not a big thing, it's not an expensive gift, but even a small gift, but if it is given with love, you will not say, oh, he gave me such a small gift, I will also give him a small gift. But if I can afford to give a better gift, why should I not give? So what? Even if that one gave me a small gift. Because I love that person. I respect that person. So when we say love, love is something which we don't have to underestimate. It is something very, very elevated. You don't have to study books to learn how to love. Little children, how they hug each other, how they love each other. You know, little children, they exchange their things with each other. Who taught them? Nobody taught them. But it is the inborn quality of every soul. Some souls can't do that because they are body conscious. That body conscious nature does not allow them to do it. And that's why Baba says you must be soul conscious. You must be soul conscious. Learn how to be detached also. If you want to experience peace, just go beyond the body in a second. Because I'm a soul, I'm not this body, I become detached in a second and I become peaceful. I should not say, oh, I want to become peaceful, I want to become peaceful, I want peace, I want peace. Baba says, Brahmins will not say that like that, I want peace. Or give me peace, give me love, no. I will feel that from within me. Because I am an embodiment of peace, I am an embodiment of love. I have to give. I have to give. You know, they say these qualities cannot be asked for. Purity, peace, love, happiness, bliss, power, they cannot be asked for. Even from God, if you ask, how will God give you? God, give me love. You tell God, how will God love you? Baba says, I love you by giving you Srimad. That is my true love for you. I give you Srimad so that you do righteous actions. And when you do righteous actions, these are my real blessings for you. So good righteous actions, which if I do on God's directions, that is the best help God gives to me. It is a big blessing of God because I'm an obedient child. But if I'm not obedient, I'm disobedient, then even if I have everything, I will not really want to give anything to that person because I don't have love for that person. So even if that person has done something good to me, I don't care for it. That person felt, oh, this person has got something wrong with him. Okay, I will help him. But even then I will not help. This is like in a bitter relationship. And maybe some karmic account of the past that is being settled. So when I say I have to give, even in that there is actually settling of karmic accounts. This give and take is settling of karmic accounts. All my bodily relationships, they are all based on karmic accounts. Supposing someone gets angry with me, now it's definitely a karmic account with me of that person. So what should I do? I also get angry with him because he got angry with me. So if I get angry with that person, I'm creating a karmic account. So some people question that, how do I know that if somebody gets angry with me and it is a settling of an account? Or is it a creating an account? What will you say? So even if that person gets angry with me, but I'm not angry. I feel sorry for that person. I want to console that person. I say happy good things to that person. It means I finished my karmic account. But if I also get angry, I too get upset, I'm creating new karmic accounts. So Baba says, at this confluence age, you have to settle all your karmic accounts. Let no karmic accounts remain. Because if you don't settle now, you will have to settle them in Dharamrajpuri. Three ways to settle your accounts. Three ways. One way is through Baba's remembrance. Baba says, remember me and I will absolve all your sins. So remembrance is like a fire in which we are able to absorb all our sins. And the second way is through karmic account settling. Physical ailments, mental stress, you know, problem with money, relationships not good with people. So in that way also I'm settling karmic accounts. So even if somebody is not good with me, doesn't matter. I have to be good to that person. Because if that person is bad, it's my karma with him. But if I am good, then I'm settling that karma with him. But if I'm bad too, then I'm creating more karmic account with that person. So here karma works a great deal. Okay?
विकराल विनाश खड़ा आगे। पांडव शिव शक्ति सेना की रणभेरी अब फिर बजती है।
शिव बाबा के ज्ञान से फिर माया को मार भगाना है।
शिव पिता को अब याद करो, सतयुग में अपने सुकर्मों के बल पर ही सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है।
धाम में तुम्हें
सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है।
धाम में तुम्हें जाना है।
So just as if I share peace with others, I become peaceful. Similarly, I share love with others by thinking good of every person. And when I think good of that person, I will do good for him, however bad he may be, because I wish him to get benefit. So it's not loving the body. Because loving the body means it is a vice. It will lead to lust or to attachment. And lust and attachment are vices. So actually it is love for the body which leads to all vices. Sex lust, what is it? It's attraction to the skin. You know, the five senses. Each sense organ, when it is attraction of that, it leads to a vice. Sense of touch, which leads to ultimately sex lust. It's just sense of touch. The sensation of touch is ultimately a very big vice. The smallest example of that could be you go to a museum. And in that museum there are many antique things kept. And it is written, please don't touch, please don't touch. You're not supposed to touch them. They are just meant to be seen, that's all. And history is written of that. But very often if they are not in a showcase, if they are easily, you know, able to be touched, you will definitely want to touch it. Even those written on top, please don't touch, still we touch it. Why do we touch it? Don't we? Oh, let me see how it feels. Because a sense of touch attracts. And ultimately that sense of touch can lead to, you know, rapism also. What is rapism? Rape. So we can see in today's world how this sex abuse is all nothing but just sense of touch. Then anger, how does anger come? How is anger visible? If I'm angry within, how do I show that anger? I will speak later, but first it will come from the eyes. You can know a person when he's angry, his eyes, you know, they are so fearsome. Anger. So anger is visible through the eyes. And those people who are really angry, they really, their eyes are so frightening. So skin is lust. Eyes is anger. Then greed is the tongue. It's so interesting that what the tongue likes, the stomach does not appreciate. The stomach doesn't want it, but the tongue goes for taste. The taste buds are only in the tongue. They are not inside. They're not in the stomach. They're not in the food pipe. They are just on the tongue. And just for the taste, for the tongue, we eat such things which we should not be eating. They're bad for the stomach. But we don't mind indigestion, but I want to, because I like it, so I eat it. So greed. Greed. This taste attracts. And therefore the tongue and the stomach, they're always fighting against each other. What stomach likes, tongue does not like. It is tasteless. So if it is tasteless, I don't want to eat. Even if it is good for the stomach, it's good for health. If I don't want to eat because there's no taste. So that is greed. And even if my stomach is full, I will take another extra piece because I like it. So that is greed. So greed means the tongue, mouth, the attachment. Which sense organ is attachment? Nose. You know, when you're attached to somebody, you want to smell that person. You love your dog, and you want to smell that person again and again. Smell the dog, because you love that dog so much. But if we love everyone, you don't have to hug that person or be attached to that person or smell that person. No, you can love even from a distance. But this nose, it is attachment. And ego is the ears. If somebody talks ill of me, oh, my ears open up. Somebody tells me that, you know, that one spoke ill of you. Sure, did he say that? I'll go and show him. What does he think of himself? So my ego is revealed through my ears. They open wide. But if I'm soul conscious, and I hear something bad about me, people talking ill about me, I say, okay, it's their feeling. It is their idea. But God thinks so good of me. Baba is always blessing me. Baba is always praising me. That person may think anything. I don't mind. I don't mind. So my ears will not blow up like that. Okay. So because there's no ego. There's a difference between ego and self-respect. Many people don't understand the difference between ego and self-respect. When there's ego, you feel hurt. Oh, why did he say like that to me? You feel hurt because it's your ego which is hurt. But when there's self-respect, you're not hurt. Supposing somebody says you are stupid. My ego is hurt. How dare he say I'm stupid? I'm so clever. I'm so intelligent. How can he call me stupid? But that is ego, because I think I'm very clever. But even if he say you are stupid, I don't feel hurt, because I know what I am. So I know what I am. Baba says you are a knowledgeable child. So I am knowledgeable. Okay, let him say what he wants to say. You can't stop him. You can't stop anybody from saying anything. There's freedom of speech. You can't put him into prison because he said that to you. Freedom of speech. Freedom. I can say whatever I want to say. Nobody can stop me. So you can't do. That's why Baba says, hear and don't hear. See and don't see. We see so many things happening which we don't like. But then you can't do anything, and therefore, let it go. Leave it. Let go. So see and don't see, because you can't stop that. And hear, but don't hear. So when you see and don't see and hear and don't hear, you can be detached so easily, and yet still you love that person. Whatever he has said, whatever he has done, you are not really affected by that. So this is what we say, these five senses, sense organs, they are the responsible for the five vices. So I don't hear, I don't see, I don't smell, I don't go only for taste, I go for health, because health is very important. It is much better than wealth. You know, there's a saying, if wealth lost, nothing lost. Wealth lost, nothing lost. Because wealth is like, you know, the dust on your hands. Your hands become dusty and you go and wash them, again they become dusty, again you have to keep washing and washing, because they need to be washed as they become dusty. So wealth is like that. You get it and then it will go, you get it and it will go, it will never stay. So never mind if you have lost it, you will get it again, you will get it. So don't really feel sad because you lost wealth. It will come again. But some people get so shocked when they lose some wealth. Oh, some people even get a heart attack when they lose wealth. Baba says, no, if wealth lost, nothing lost. You did not bring wealth with you when you came into this world, and you will not take back the wealth anyway. It's all going to remain here. But if health lost, definitely something lost. Because if you have health, then you can do so much service. But if you don't have wealth, then never mind, you can serve to the mind. It's not necessary you need wealth to serve. But you must have good health, then you can serve better. But then if character lost, everything lost. Wealth lost, nothing lost. Health lost, something lost. Because health you can't get back easily. Once you lose your health, then it's so difficult to get back to the original health. They say that a problem, a disease, comes immediately. It comes so quickly that you even become unaware of it. But when it goes very, very slowly. So have patience. It will go slowly. Therefore it takes time. But wealth, don't worry. And if you have health, you can get wealth, no problem. But if you lose your character, you lose everything. So wealth lost, nothing lost, because it's like dust. If health lost, okay, you have to go through an operation, and that operation leads to the scar on the body. Okay, never mind if it is going to last till the end. Doesn't matter, when I get a new body, this scar will not be there in the new body. This body I have to discard anyway after is going to finish. So I'm not really worried much if there's a scar on my hand or my face or whatever. In my new life, Baba says, this is old body. In my new birth, my body will be so beautiful. So it doesn't matter however my body is now. But if character lost, then that scar, that red mark, comes of the soul. It's like a failure, like a red mark on your mark sheet. And red mark on the mark sheet means It is bad conduct too, so it's bad conduct, so red mark everywhere. It is a failure. So your soul is affected. And you know, we have a saying in the Brahma Kumaris, if character lost, it is not lost only for one life, but it is lost life after life. Because that same sanskar goes in the next life. Whatever sanskar you have created, it will follow you, it will take you to your next life. And you'll get that sanskar again. So if you get a sanskar again, means it has become long lasting. Supposing someone does corruption for the sake of money, he does corruption, he's a corrupt person, and one day he's caught because of corruption, because of demanding money or wrong action. And one day he's caught and he's sent to prison. Now he's in prison. Now when he's in prison, he can't do anything. He's in prison, he's handicapped. But the sanskar is there in him. And maybe because of frustration or something, he drinks and he loses his health also. Ultimately he dies. In prison, he dies in prison, drinks and whatever. And he dies. Now where will that soul go? What will be the fate of that soul? That soul will go to that place where people drink and are alcoholic and they are corrupt, In that family the soul will be born. Now what is the future of that soul? No future. Because it gets only that right from birth. So it will become like that in his childhood also. Because that's what it has learned from his family. There is no upliftment until someone comes and makes him understand that this is wrong. And then he changes himself. So until someone comes, his life is going back from bad to worse. And that's why Baba says, be very careful. Watch your, and how does all this start? From your thoughts. Watch your thoughts, for one day they will become words. The words we don't want to speak, we should not even think about them. Very often we don't want to say something. We feel that the person will be hurt if I say, but we are thinking about it. Then even that is not right, because if I'm thinking about it, one day I will say, without even my knowledge, I will speak out and then I'll say, well, I didn't really mean it, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean it. Well, you didn't mean it, but you said it, and if you said it, it means you must be having it in your thoughts. In your feelings, that's why you said it, otherwise you would not say it. How can you not mean it and you just said it without any meaning? It must be there, but then you want to justify yourself that you didn't mean it. And what you say, one day you will definitely do it. There are some people who are suicidal prone. They say, I want to die, I want to die, I want to die. They just keep saying that only, I want to die. But in the family members, family will say, oh, he's only saying that, he will never do that. And one day he does it. He had been saying all the while, but nobody paid attention. So what is there in his mind, he will do it one day. Unless he is transformed, he is changed, he is made to understand that what he is saying is not right. So whatever you say, one day you will do it. So what you don't want to do, don't say. And whatever you do, that will become your habit. So what habits you don't want to form, don't do it even once. And if that becomes your habit, then that will become your character. Your character will become like that, and that character will lead you to your destiny, ultimate destiny for this birth and the future births. So what type of destiny do we want? Baba says your destiny is golden age, becoming a deity, and that is what we have to become. And for that, the starting should be from my thoughts. And the thoughts are giving love to all. No hatred for anyone. No keeping barriers. No keeping any limits. Because I love God and God loves every soul. Baba says, I love every soul. But what they get is according to their capacity. God gives. The sun keeps giving. The ocean keeps giving. But how much sunshine I take, how much water I take, depends on me, not on the sun or the ocean. Because they are always giving. So when I understand love, I have to realize I don't have to ask for it. But my love should be altruistic. My love should be selfless. My love should be like God is giving all the time. I have to be like God and keep giving love to all. Even if I cannot give wealth to anyone, at least my good feelings, my pure thoughts, I can definitely share that with everyone. My sweet words, I can share that with everyone. And if I'm able to do that, I will get all the blessings, don't worry. You don't lose anything. So be good, do good, and you will get good. This is what it means. Love begets love. Om Shanti. Okay? Okay, thank you. Om Shanti. Okay, now we will sit in Baba's remembrance. I will give some commentary. We can sit in meditation. I go within. And ask myself, who am I? Who am I? Whom do I belong to? What do I have to do? I say to myself, I am a loveful soul. Love is my true nature. I am an embodiment of love. I am the child of the ocean of love. The ocean of love is giving me rays of love. I can feel Baba's love towards me. Baba loves me very much. This love I have to share with all. I love God Baba and Baba loves me. I am a loveful soul, the child of the ocean of love. I share this love with all. Love is a great power. It is my innate quality. I don't have to ask for it. I have to experience it by being in the company of the ocean of love. Baba is telling me, my sweet child, you are so lovely. And I say to Baba, you are also so lovely. I get Baba's love. I realize how loving I am. I now share this love with all. All our loving souls. All our children of the ocean of love. I have to spread vibrations of love all around me. Anyone who comes in front of me should experience loving vibrations. As all our lovely souls, I'm so fortunate to have found such a loving father. My original sanskar is love. Whoever comes in front of me, I have to respect that one and express my feelings of love for that one. This confluence age is so limited, such small age. And in this age, which is a small age, I have to become perfect in all my qualities. Because only these qualities will accompany me, and nothing else. All the best of riches are nothing compared to this love. I can solve many problems through love. I become very light and detached. So let me go beyond and be totally detached, completely bodiless. Thank you, Baba, for giving me so much. Now I have to keep on sharing this love to all, so that all souls become loveful beings and make this world a lovely world again, a golden aged world again, a deity world again. Om Shanti. Om Shanti.